Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the guy that is such a puppeteer. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Dance, puppets, dance.
Oh my gosh, you're the puppet master the whole time.
I would be the worst puppet master. I'd be so lazy. Just be like, just control yourself, puppets.
Oh, and then there would be a revolution against you. It'd be really quick and easy. You're the worst.
That's why I just talk on a podcast instead. It's more my speed.
That's why you don't have a gaggle of minions to do your bidding.
It's the only reason.
You'd be quickly overthrown. Oh, Brandon, it's been a week. What you been up to lately? Anything sweet happened to you?
No.
Nothing. Nothing good?
Nope. I got nothing to give you.
Oh, man. That's okay. So, I had a week, Brandon. Oh, my goodness.
A doozy, would you say?
Yeah. So, you know, I got that new computer. I'm just going to keep talking about it, I guess. Like, I'm not trying to brag or anything. Anyway, I had to... So, we're getting ready to, like, update our house a little bit because we're going to be moving eventually. I shouldn't say that in a podcast because, like, now it's not going to happen. But the plan is we're going to be moving. So my room was kind of shit. Like, I had a lot of boxes everywhere. It was a nightmare. We got everything out of here, and we had to rip up the carpet, and we replaced the carpet yesterday. But that means I have to move my computer. And one thing I hate in life, it is taking apart a computer, like all the cords, and moving it, and then like putting it back. Okay, I hate that. It's
not fun.
No, it's the worst. A lot can happen. You could drop it, you know, but I didn't drop it. Okay, that's not where the story is going. The story is much more lazy than that because I had to move my computer three times with this last week. I had to move to move my, like, to rip up the carpet. And then I had to move it back because I still had to work this week, right? And we did that last weekend. And then I had to move it out so that we could put the new carpet in. And then I had to move it back. And that, oh my God. Like, I feel like lazy just saying that, but God damn, it was a lot of work.
Yeah. That's just, I hate that kind of stuff too.
I didn't even talk about the part where I had to put carpet down. God damn. You know what's the worst? Is putting carpet in a room. Like, thankfully, this is a pretty easy room. It's just like a rectangle, but like, you gotta cut the carpet and you gotta put it down. It's a lot.
Yeah. it's a production.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'm surprised I survived, Brandon. All for you, though. All so that I can complain and entertain you and the masses with my life.
Well, I did have a little bit of a similar thing this week. I got a new surround sound system.
Oh, damn. Okay.
To go, you know, to go with all my 4K movies.
Lizzie McGuire.
Gotta have the best Lizzie McGuire sound.
You want to hear her smacking her lips as she eats the gelato. I gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had to, like, behind my entertainment, you know, center was just a mess of cords. And I'm always like, I'll organize those and do some cable management someday.
Mm-hmm.
But never did. But this time I was like, all right, now I have to. And it was, yeah, just untangling and organizing cords. Wow. And it sucks.
You know, I have two things to say, Brandon. The first one is, I feel like your life is almost always just untangling cords, whether it's Christmas lights or behind your entertainment system. And two, Brandon, now you're going to need to put in those lights that like change depending on like what voice is talking and stuff. So you'll have like, you know, some teal for Lizzie. You'll have red for Gordo. And I don't know if there's any other characters, but like that would be great.
Gordo is purple.
He would be a purple. Yes. I wonder what that kid's been up to. Has he been in anything else since Lizzie McGuire? I don't
know. Cortland, I'll be honest. I've never seen the Lizzie McGuire movie. Do they, like, does Gordo and Lizzie
they
get
smooch
together
in
at
it,
the end
man.
Of that?
Yeah, they give the little, get a little smooch.
Wow. Smooch.
I assume. Look, I've never seen it either. Okay.
I'm MySpace it off official.
Me. Yeah. I don't know, Brandon. Look, if neither of us watched the Lizzie McGuire movie, we're not experts on it. We shouldn't be talking about it on a podcast.
All right. Well, we'll get to it when we get to the plot points for 2004 or whatever.
Four? I don't know. Look, I have the power of the internet at my disposal right now, but I refuse to look it up, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
Brandon, we're ridiculous. Brandon, we got an episode. It was just from the Crypto cover.
We do have an episode.
Yeah, a little bit.
One I was very excited to watch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so last week, You know, I asked you, I was like, Werewolf Concerto. Is that how you say it? And you were like, I don't fucking know. And I was like, okay, fair enough. I don't know. Is it actually called Werewolf Concerto? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Okay. Werewolf Concerto.
Did you know that before? Were you just making me look stupid?
No. No.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I would have been okay with it if you would have said yes to that. I would have been like, yeah, it's fine. It's on brand.
Look, all of my knowledge of like these like music terms comes from Castlevania games.
That's fair.
So when it's like Concerto of Doom or whatever, I'm like, yeah. Okay.
So you know about like the symphonies of the night and the
yep.
Order of Ecclesia.
Arias of Sorrow.
Yeah. Is it clear? No, it's not a musical term.
Harmony of Dissonance.
Yeah, that's true. They do have a musical feel to it, right? It's because the music's so damn good in those games. The music composer was like, no, it has to be named after music. And they were like, all right, we'll do it. And then they did it. And it was great.
Please stop yelling at us.
He was foaming at the mouth, Brandon. They couldn't stop him. So what did you think of Werewolf Concerto, Brandon?
Well, we've been on quite a tear in season 4 of Tales from the Crypt.
Mm-hmm.
It's been just hit after hit. And I'm not going to say that this episode breaks that streak.
Yeah.
But I will say that it was a bit of a letdown.
A touch. I mean, for having such a bombastic cast, you know, because we got a lot of heavy hitters in this episode. It's very convoluted. There's a lot going on in this episode.
A lot, but also not very much.
Yeah, yeah. It's also kind of boring. And the parts that aren't boring are fucking hilarious. But besides all that, I just thought it was fine. Yeah, it was a fine episode.
The biggest problem with this episode is that it's too short. This episode is 22 minutes. And I feel like they wanted to do like an Agatha Christie style murder mystery with clues and red herrings and this and that. But it just doesn't have time. Doesn't have time to set anything up.
I agree. I've also never read anything by Agatha Christie before. So I don't know what an Agatha Christie style mystery could be. Is it something that's very like unraveled along the way kind of thing? And you're like, oh, it was this person the whole time kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's all these characters and they all have motivations to do this crime. You're like, who could it be? And then you gather all these clues. And then at the end, you gather everyone in the parlor and you say, I know who the killer is. And you lay it all out.
Okay, that's fun. And this episode does not do that at all. There are characters. They may have a motive. I don't know what it could be. And there are red herrings. Yeah. But, like, it doesn't matter what it ends up being.
There is no motives at all in this episode.
They try to throw some in there, but they don't really work or land or anything. And you're just like, okay. And then you, like, go along and you're like, okay, it's this now. And you just accept it because, like, you have to.
Yeah, because you have no other choice.
Not the best episode, but not the worst. It was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching it. Just could have been more.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's just discuss it, dissect it, and concerto it. Because that's what that word means.
As we do, yes.
Our episode begins, and we see a human brain on a plate, Brandon. Now, there were some infomercials. Were they even infomercials? There was really commercials. Back in the 90s, that were all the rage. Everybody made fun of them, where it's like, this is your brain. This is your brains on drugs. And then they put, like, eggs in a sizzling pan, right? Remember those?
Mm-hmm. I do.
I don't think anybody could forget them. That's what we're getting. The Crypt Keeper grabs that brain and he picks it up and he says, this is your brain. And he places it in a pan full of, I don't know, grease? Grease or something? It looks disgusting. And then he tells us that this is our brain on drugs. So after that, I was like, all right, I get it, Crypty. This is a PSA. I can't be doing drugs or my brain's going to get sizzled.
They've somehow managed to make brains look unappetizing.
How could they, Brandon? How could they do that to us? The camera pans us over to another brain that is plated. And it looks pretty sad, pretty sloppy. And Crypty lets us know that this is our brain after watching Tales from the Crypt. Wow. I didn't expect them to dig at their own show, but they did.
I feel attacked.
He smashes that shit with a hammer saying, blah! Evening, creeps. We interrupt your regularly scheduled television program to bring you a bit of culture. That's right, kiddies. Tonight, instead of rotting your grave matter, I'm going to improve it with a tasteful tale about someone who just can't fright the feeling. I call it Werewolf Concerto. And then that's when I was like, oh, I had it wrong, Crypty. You taught me something.
I thought it was Concerto.
Yeah, it should be, right? I can read English. We zoom into the picture for this episode, and it's pretty action-packed. We've got a werewolf's face, and its mouth is open on the left, and a woman in a pink dress is running away into the night on the right. Looks pretty all right.
Like the episode itself, it could be better.
Okay, the depiction of the werewolf here looks nothing like the depiction of a werewolf in the episode, so spoilers there. I don't believe there is a single woman in a pink dress running away from it. In fact, it's a rather large man that runs away from the werewolf.
So it's false advertising all around.
Yeah, 100%. We fade into the episode and right into the action. I guess there's a lot of action at the beginning here. We've got a full moon and some sweet panning shots of a dark forest. Some creepy choir, like culty music starts playing. And we see a kind of fat old man running through the forest. He's all out of breath and he's all like, oh God, I can't be doing this running stuff. And it's broken up with what looks to be a first-person wolf-type creature chasing after him. The dude jumps. And that reminded me, Brandon, that I don't jump. Okay, I don't remember the last time I jumped. He smashes a branch and he just keeps on going.
When's the last time you played basketball?
The last time I played basketball was probably, like, with you.
Okay, so 20 years ago.
Circa 2014, maybe? 2014? He huffs his way to a clearing and hunches down to catch his breath. Which is dumb, because he knows he's being chased by, like, a wolf creature. But sometimes you just gotta catch your breath. Then a bunch of wolves howl in the distance. And there's a lot of wolf howling in the distance in this episode. Instead of moving, he just looks around. Something from behind him lunges on top of him and rolls him over on the ground. And then it slashes his throat, and the dude barely even responds to that. We fade to a few moments later where a big werewolf raises up this dude's severed head in victory and howls into the night.
Yeah, so this episode starts off with, a bang.
It does. It might be one of the most exciting things that happened in this episode. Spoilers.
Yeah, like we're 10 seconds in and a man is already decapitated.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of downhill from here, honestly. Then it takes a couple of clumsy steps off screen and we cut over to like a cabin, resort, hotel thing in the woods. And the werewolf's howl melds into the howling of a woman. She is distraught, Brandon.
Why?
Well, a couple of people are there next to her and this dude walks up saying, "My deepest regrets, Miss Bailey."
If it's at any comfort at all, the coroner tells me that your husband's death was instant.
what a thing to say.
Somebody. You know what? I do feel good. Thank you.
Yeah, she just accepts that and she's like, okay, cool. but no, she cries a lot more, as you would expect. And this guy, by the way, his name is Mr. Antoine. He tries to walk away, but some dude with a German accent stops him saying, three people, I can't do a German accent. I can't, I'm not going to try.
Oh, it sounded great.
Three people have been murdered in just hotel. Is that German?
That's perfect.
Oh, okay, thank you. And I'd like to know what you're going to do about it. What the authorities are going to do about it. Before Antoine can answer, that bald old man yells, why did I say that bald old man?
I don't know. There's so many bald old men in this hotel. Hmm.
There's a lot of characters in this episode. We're going to be going through all of them and on IMDb here, but it's kind of I don't say it's confusing because they all look different, but I'm going to make it confusing later. Spoilers. So this bald old man, he yells, "I'm leaving. This is bullshit. Send the kid for my bags." And he turns to leave, but Antoine tells him, "Oh, actually, last night's storms were too bad, and there's a mudslide that's completely blocking the highway. So all these poor people are just stuck in this luxurious hotel."
How convenient.
Out of nowhere, Carl from Family Matters walks up asking, "Wait a minute. That means the police can't get in here, and there's a killer stalking this place." He's accompanied by his wife, who looks concerned. Now, the German guy, his name is Carl, and that's where things get confusing, because whenever Reginald Van Johnson comes on screen, I'm going to refer to him as Carl from Family Matters.
Yeah.
As I should, I feel.
You would be disrespected if you didn't. If you say, like, "Hey, Reginald," in real life, I'd be like, "It's Carl."
I know. Yeah, you would, right? It's Reginald Van Johnson. But no, it's Carl. Carl Winslow from Family Matters. You know, that reminds me, though, Brandon, how come they haven't tried to remake Family Matters yet? Don't you think they should? They should try it.
Oh, man. They could do some crazy shit.
I mean, Steve Urkel could be getting into all sorts of stuff. He could be. You remember, like, towards the end of Family Matters, he was getting into all that science?
I mean, he was, like, traveling in time and making robots and stuff.
Yeah, like, the last episode, he was, like, in space and stuff. It was weird.
He turned into Bruce Lee.
He did, yeah. And then there's Stefan. Like,
oh, God.
There's so many things they could do these days. They really, like, out of all the sitcoms in the world, like, they really went off the rails with Family Matters. That shit's crazy.
It was just a straight up cartoon by the end.
Insane. Remember when the sister went upstairs and she never came back?
Yeah, they replaced the mom and no one noticed.
That's crazy. How can they do that stuff? Anyway, I'm sorry. That was Family Matters. Okay, so yeah, anyway, this German guy, his name's Carl, right? He says, the killer? Is that what you think? And he's also German, right? So, what's the matter with you people? Oh, this episode's going to be a nightmare. Why can't you admit it? It's a wolf. In fact, a werewolf. With that revelation, we see Carl look at his wife as the other guests are all like, a werewolf? Oh, my. Antoine slaps the book he's holding, saying, okay, now, people. And we hear this woman off screen yell, what? And I love it. There's a lot of scenes where the crowd will just react, and it's like the same woman that's just like talking. And it's amazing, okay? Do you know what I'm talking about? You love it, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. He tells them to listen to him because he agrees that all the evidence leads to one conclusion, that there is a werewolf that is killing people. And that woman from off screen is all like, oh, there he goes again. It's like, lady, calm down.
I love that line. Like, how can you have a line that's just like, well, all the evidence leads to werewolfism? Like, what?
I don't
There's no, like, other possible conclusions.
No, this is a world where werewolves is real and everybody knows about it and they just attack people and everybody's just like, oh my
god, well, everybody's still like, I don't know, werewolves, I don't know about this werewolf stuff. So it's like werewolves are real enough where you could be like, well, it's got to be werewolves, but not real enough that people are just like, yeah, there's werewolves, we know it.
Right. Odd world they're living in.
There.
He tells the guests that their panic is
premature.
Because he's fancy.
Yeah, he says it that way.
He does. I had to put it in my notes phonetically so that I remembered to say it. Since someone has already agreed to kill the beast, it's come to his attention that there is an individual amongst them who, in certain circles, is considered an expert in dealing with this type of phenomena. Upon approach, this individual was kind enough to offer their services, and in exchange is only that I, Antoine, keep their anonymity in place. So, guest-wise, we have German Carl, we have Carl from Family Matters, Carl, yes, from Family Matters' wife, and a certain anonymous wolf hunter, werewolf hunter.
Which could be any of these people. Carl could be the werewolf hunter, we don't know.
Dude, that'd be awesome. That should have been an episode of Family Matters.
It probably was.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen every episode.
Oh, me neither. We should do a watch of that. The bald old man from before, the one that was complaining and wanted to leave because he's a character, doesn't like this, asking, what kind of fool do you take us for? You expect me to believe one of us is a werewolf exterminator? Are you people actually buying this crap? German Carl steps up with a truth bomb, saying werewolves are real, and to a hunter, they are the ultimate prize. The old man tells everybody that they're nuts, and he wants to wash his hands of this whole thing. Antoine declares, this is good, and you're all going to hold up inside, and things are totally going to go back to normal. Anyway, he's planned a marvelous weekend full of food, drink, entertainment, all that good stuff. And he snaps over to another employee, telling him to go get drinks for everybody. We watch that employee walk away and past our story's main character. His name is Lokai, Brandon.
Yeah, that's a name.
Yes. Yes, it is. Is it his first name or is it like, you know, John Lokai or something?
I think it's just like Cher. He's just Lokai. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that. And Lokai here, he's sitting in a chair sipping on a drink, and he says to himself, well done, Antoine. And then he starts crunching on his ice, I guess. Like, his mouth isn't really moving, but there is the sound of ice crunching. I don't know. It was added in later. I don't
know. We need more ice sounds.
Well, it just doesn't really make sense because, like, why wouldn't they just have him crunching the ice? He must have been like, you know what? My pearly whites can't handle this, like, force of ice. I'm not going to crack my teeth over a Tales from the Crypt episode. But this woman from off screen says, you know what they say about a man that does that to his ice, don't ya? Then she swivels into frame and turns to look at Lokai. And Lokai looks her way, swallowing his ice, and says, yeah.
You can always count on him to lick the competition.
Which is not what they say about anything.
Yeah, no one says that.
No. The woman, her name is Janice. She looks away saying something like that. Okay, I said that stupid, but she's like, something like that. They have a little back and forth here because there's a lot of like flirting and stuff. And Lokai's asking if she's listening to this werewolf business. And she smiles at him saying that the whole back hair thing's just been a big turnoff for her. And how about you? And Lokai tells her,
oh, I dig a chick with a healthy fro.
And in my notes, I just said, what?
Yeah.
What?
their flirting needs a little work, I think.
It's like, I know all of the actors and actresses in this movie, I mean, in this TV show are like really good, right? I don't know if I like Lokai very much.
What?
Yeah, I don't know about that. He's a little hammy, very hammy.
Oh, this episode is, yeah.
It is kind of camp.
It's campy, for sure.
These two, they're almost going to smooch here, but Janice channels her inner Tito from The Weekenders, telling him,
later days, Barbara.
I'm glad you had that. I had that in my notes as well.
Look, I could not have that in my notes.
There's two people listening to this who are like, hey, I get that reference.
The Weekenders was a television program from like 2002. And the main character said later days. And when she said that, I was like, I know what I'm putting in my notes. It's going to be that. So Brandon can chuckle.
Thank you.
So she leaves and Lokai looks after her and then gets up and he follows her. Over by the stairway, he points at Janice saying, Bull August of 91. He might say Bull. I don't know. She stops and looks at him saying that Hollywood is a depressing town. And she tries not to keep track of where she's at. Lokai goes on to say that she performed an exhibition on piano or something, and she tells him that he's a bit too old to be one of her groupies. He offers to have breakfast with her, but she's doing intermittent fasting, so she doesn't do breakfast. Lokai's still trying to be so suave here, saying that he doesn't eat breakfast either. Who does? And it's amazing how much that they have in common. He offers up lunch, but she declines that too. She also doesn't want dinner and starts walking upstairs. But Lokai offers up a game of 20 questions, naked in the bathtub around midnight. He'll even have his back up against the faucet, Brandon. What a gentleman.
Nice.
She walks back down, telling him he just won a prize and refers to him as a groupie again, so remember that. She's in room 212 and expects him about midnight, then tells him not to forget his submarine. Lokai smiles, saying that it'll be a pleasure to see her perform. Then he takes another swig of his drink and he walks over to the bar. And man, that interaction was weird. It was a weird one. He calls out to the bartender, hey, Peter, do me a favor. I want to know if anybody at this hotel receives any notification, whether it's through fax, a phone call, a letter, shoot, even a wrong number. Not an email, though, Brandon. That wasn't really mainstream. And he hands him over some bribe money. He thanks the kid and he walks away over to Mr. Antoine as we hear some wolves howling in the distance. The camera spins around Lokai and shows us Antoine just trying to get some damn work done or something. And he calls back, Mr. Lokai? And he looks up at him and adjusts his little bow tie and tells Lokai to sleep safely as some very fancy music starts playing. The next day, because we just ignore the part where he was invited to that woman's room at midnight, he just goes to sleep. I don't know. Yeah. He was so excited about it.
It's playing hard to get.
I guess so. The next day, Lokai walks on down the stairs for some brekkie. Did you see what I did there, Brandon?
Oh my gosh. Nice.
You're welcome.
You're a true blue Aussie.
I know. I watched Bluey, okay? I know some things. He looks around for a moment, and Carl from Family Matters is there with his wife. And they invite him to sit down and eat some breakfast with them. Lokai tells them that he was out for a jog and just can't get enough of this crisp mountain air. Because maybe he's a little sweaty, I don't really know. We see German Carl look over at them and then start reading a newspaper. Like, he's kind of like, you know, listening in. Lokai compliments Family Matters' Carl's wife on her dress. And she loves that, Brandon.
Yes.
Then he asks if anyone's seen Mr. Hertz today, which is that bald old man that was yelling from earlier. Don't worry if you don't like forget people or are confused. It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. All you have to remember is Carl Winslow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it.
Carl Winslow.
And this character coming up soon.
Carl finds that to be a curious question indeed. And Loki says that he just seemed so uptight last night. The couple have a giggle about that when up walks goddamn Wolfgang Puck. The, I guess, celebrity chef that works at this hotel for some reason.
Yeah, like people seem to know who he is, but he's also just this chef at a hotel.
Yeah, they're like, oh my god, it's Wolfgang Puck. And he's but like, also, I just work here.
He's like a waiter here because he's coming to take orders.
I don't know. He's the head chef, but also the waiter, even though they have a full staff. And
yeah, he's the bus boy. He's like, can I take your plates?
Not the refill? I can't do an Austrian accent. I'm terrible at accents, Brandon. He greets Loki, and Loki just knows who Wolfgang Puck is and asks for lunch. Wolfgang tells him they have a wonderful Semmelwisser dill sauce. I'm just getting into German here. A quail on baby greens.
And I made a special frittata for you with baby vegetables and a hint of fennel. It's delicious.
Loki thinks on that for a second and insults the chef by asking for a cheeseburger. Wolfgang Puck cannot believe what he is hearing and looks over at the other guests who sigh. And Loki tells them that he wants a goddamn hamburger and a large iced tea with plenty of ice so he can chew on it and ruin his teeth.
He really does love chewing ice.
I mean, I don't really have ice in my drinks that often, and I chew on the ice, Brandon. I'm basically James Bond, okay?
Okay.
Wolfgang leaves to go make that shit, and Loki fans his face a little, saying, God, it's damn hot in here.
I need more ice to chew. Keeps my mouth nice and cool.
Carl Winslow's wife from this episode asks Loki, who do you think this mysterious werewolf hunter could be? And I'm just like, girl, you're talking to a man named Loki. Who do you fucking think is a werewolf hunter?
Yeah. Is it supposed to be a mystery?
I guess. I mean, he's anonymous, right?
Yeah, I feel like the show thinks it's a mystery.
I feel like these stupid guests are told it was a mystery, but it shouldn't be at all. I don't know.
Yeah.
Loki tells her that question is wrong, since that would only be interesting to one particular person. She asks, who might that be? And he answers that it'd be the werewolf himself. Or herself, perhaps. She just stares at him, and he asks if there's anything she'd like to confess. Carl Winslow chuckles a bunch and jokes that his wife should give herself up. But she's being super serial right now, Brandon, and asks Loki if he isn't even a little bit curious. He smugly tells her no, and that curiosity will only get her dead. She can even ask Mr. Bailey. Oh, wait, no she can't, because this guy's head ripped off by a werewolf from the beginning of the episode. Carl Winslow's wife gets kind of sad now, saying, aw, Mr. Bailey, he was such a dope dude. Loki agrees, just as his iced tea arrives. Then she tells him that they were just getting all friendly and hands him a picture of the, like, two nights ago where they were all posing for a picture. Okay, it's got Carl Winslow, it's got Carl Winslow's wife in this episode, that German Carl, and also the guy that got his head ripped off, Brandon. He makes a comment saying that this is a revealing photo, which it isn't, and she asks, no. How so? And Carl pipes up saying that he thinks this full moon here, because there's a full moon, really favors her and giggles. So I guess maybe it's like, oh, she can't be a werewolf because there's a full moon behind her kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like there's little clues about who the werewolf is.
But it doesn't here matter. And there.
But it doesn't matter, yeah.
Carl asks Loki if he's doing some sleuthing, and he tells him, yeah. I got an eye for detail. Isn't that right, German Carl? And we see that German Carl is slinking in the background. He walks on over, being the lesser of the two Carls, and asks Loki if he's changed his profession since they last met. German Carl tells Loki that mouth of his is going to get him in big trouble, mister, since people hate his mouth and talking in general. Am I explaining this episode good? I feel like I'm a little all over the place.
This episode is all over the place.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to use as my excuse then. Okay. Smug Loki asks if he detects a threat, and German Carl wonders aloud why Loki is even here. It's a good question. Loki giggles and makes a joke at German Carl's expense, but nobody laughs because Loki is a weirdo. German Carl demands for Loki not to interfere with him again, and Loki invites him to walk together alone a little later. And then he walks away, and Loki laughs, saying that German Carl is very sensitive. So now we fade over, and we're with sensitive German Carl. He's leaving his room and walking down the hall. But enough of that. We're back with Loki, who's busting into Janice's room, asking where she is at. He calls after her, saying, "Hope you don't mind, but your door was open. Anyway, if you're game, we can go ahead and get that bathtub heated up." But it's not midnight, Brandon. It's like noon.
Yeah, the hell? This timeline's all over the place. What is going on?
I don't know, Brandon. Maybe we'll figure it out by the end, but I don't think so.
Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your favorite hotel guest. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to everything we've got going on here. We are so thankful for you spending some time with us. I just want to say thank you to everybody that sent in questions for our season wrap-up. We always have so much fun answering your questions, and I just want to thank you for helping make our show the best it can be. If you're looking for bonus content and want to help support our show, you can become a patron at patreon.com/privateisland. We post new content multiple times a week, so there's always something new to enjoy. We've been doing bonus plot point episodes covering old movies each week. This week, we watched 1990's Arachnophobia. Of course, there's early release episodes, bloopers, and so much more there as well, so I hope you check it out and become a patron today. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons, the Beths, Venuswitch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, Rad Magical, Faith, and Shane, the Goths, Stephen, Matt, Aaron, Brittany, Sid, and Corey, the Citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and your boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. You can follow us on social media for new posts just about every day. I have this goal set for 1,000 TikTok followers this year so that I can stream on Twitch and TikTok at the same time. You can find us on Twitter at UANPod, on Instagram and Threads at Up All Night Podcast, on YouTube at Up All Night HA Podcast, and on TikTok at Private Island Presents. If you want to chat with me live as I play some video games, you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/PrivateIslandC. I go live every couple of nights, about 9 p.m. Eastern. Lately, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft with my wife, but I do switch it up. I play some Diablo 2, some Stardew Valley, Resident Evil, and more. Everything that I have there is Are You Afraid of the Dark, Goosebumps, and Tales from the Crypt themed. I worked really hard to incorporate a bunch of Are You Afraid of the Dark videos that you can play on demand. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Thanks again so much for listening in. For now, I'll let you get back to the episode. I'll be talking with you next week, though. Bye, everybody.
He opens up the door to her bedroom, but there ain't even a hint of Janice in it. Well, I mean, her clothes are there, but, like, she's not. So Lokai walks over to her piano and looks about to be jamming on that shit when he hears German Carl yelling outside and threatening to shoot somebody. Oh, my. So Lokai looks out the window to investigate, and we see German Carl walking away to the woods. And Lokai gives a big old smile and says,
"Bingo."
Outside, we watch Lokai push open the door and run into the forest. He uses his keen tracking abilities to run through this gorgeous landscape. After what seems like forever, he stops, and a gun with a hand attached to it slides into frame and pushes against his face. And I just put in my notes, man, Lokai sucks at this.
Yeah. Seems like that's it for old Lokai.
You know, like, you're in the forest, which I guess, like, could be dense, but this one is not very dense. And he was looking specifically for anybody that could be of harm to him. And apparently he forgot to, like, look to the left, because right there was the dude with the gun, and he just didn't see it.
The bald old man got the drop on him.
Mm-hmm. The bald old man from earlier says, "Oh, heard you were asking for me at lunch." And Lokai tells him, "Nah, not me. I was looking for a big, sweaty, dumb fuck with a bald head." Old bald man thinks that's very funny and pushes his gun at him, telling him to yuck it up. Lokai takes that moment to look at bald man's accessories, saying, "Oh my god, that bag is so cute and goes with your vest." Now, where's German Carl? We wouldn't want him to miss the party. Turns out German Carl won't be coming, Brandon.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
He's just not in the episode anymore.
Yeah, it's implied that he's been dealt with, but we don't know how or why.
Yeah, and we also don't hear, like, a gunshot or anything, because I feel like Lokai would be like, "Oh my god, it was a gunshot." So German Carl is just, he's just out of here. Now, in terms of that, like, pack thing, that like, the little bag that he's got, I'm not sure if Lokai saw German Carl with it first. I don't know. Ultimately, you want to know what, though? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No. Lokai tells him, "Yeah, high price to pay. I knew he had something on somebody." Bald dude agrees that German Carl had a little secret, and he just couldn't help himself in sniffing around assholes. In fact, it's kind of exactly like what Lokai is doing right now. Lokai finds that train of thought hilarious, since he's always considered himself more of a leg man. Bald man here tells him that he's just playing games, just like German Carl. But German Carl lost. Lokai explains that that's the difference between him and German Carl. You see, Lokai never loses. The bald man tells Lokai he's just too goddamn smug. And I agree, because I call him smug twice already.
He's pretty damn smug.
Well, time to shoot him.
I think German Carl prefers to go by Carl, not Winslow.
Oh, well, I don't have to say his name ever again, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. So Carl, not Winslow, is dead.
Yeah.
Possibly, maybe.
But Carl Winslow is still around.
And better than ever.
So old fat bald man is about to shoot Lokai, but he's not quick enough, because Lokai karate kicks the gun right out of bald dude's hands, then kicks him to the ground. The gun flies through the air, and Lokai snatches it and points it at him. Then, without hesitation, shoots the bald man in the center of the forehead, and bald dude fucking dies. Brandon.
Jesus.
That was a very small paragraph that, well, it was really like two sentences, right? That was the most action that this episode has, and it was fucking incredible, okay? He kicks that gun right out of that dude's hand. It was so funny.
Yeah, he effortlessly overpowered an old man. Like, it was incredible.
That was...
And he did some real James Bond shit.
It was my favorite part of the episode, when he kicked that gun out of his hands and then snatched it out of the air and shot him in the forehead without any hesitation.
Yeah, no hesitation at all. He's just like, well... You're dead.
It was amazing. It was my favorite. I loved it. Lokai goes over to that sweet pack saying, man, this werewolf business sure can be expensive, huh? And we see Lokai pull out a wad of cash. Then he complains that these dudes are all the same and there's just no challenge. And he scoops up that money and that bag and he walks away. Why would there be money involved when there's a werewolf just kind of killing people? Where's the mystery here? I don't understand.
Why does the werewolf kill people? What is the werewolf's motivation?
I don't know. I guess it's hungry, right?
He doesn't seem to be eating it. Like, all things we see, the werewolf just, like, kills and then is like, yep, job well done.
Maybe they should have went with the angle that, like, this was kind of like an assassination attempt on a specific individual and they used a werewolf for some reason. I don't know. But there's money that is involved with werewolves because it's a very expensive biz. Okay, Brandon? We shouldn't be in the podcast biz. We should be in the werewolf business.
Yeah, it's lucrative.
I guess so. Over with Carl from Family Matters. Okay. My notes are so stupid because I refuse to call her Mercedes, which is the character name. So over with Carl Winslow's wife. She's complaining that the sun is going down and it's almost werewolf o'clock.
Already?
I know, right? It's like the day just started. Carl from Family Matters demands some answers from Antoine since he said something would be done about this werewolf business. They haven't even seen the famed werewolf hunter. All that hubba is interrupted by Lokai walking his way past. See, the plan was to ask him what's going on, but nobody does. So they're all like, let's ask Lokai. And then Lokai walks by and nobody asks him what's up.
I wouldn't.
And then after nobody says anything, the crowd from off screen just asks, why didn't you talk to him? This episode's insane.
The crowd from off screen is like has the most character of anyone in this episode.
Antoine tries to wrangle the crowd in, saying that everything's all cool, baby. It's only a matter of time before that beast is destroyed. It's fine. Over with Lokai, he's walking up to the hotel when up walks that worker that he bribed, Peter. He tells him this fax just came in and he hands it to him. Turns out that German Carl was going to get some reward money for information on old bald dude. Lokai asks what kind of info and then grabs Peter by the collar because he's upset. Turns out that German Carl has information that bald old man is a Nazi.
Oh, shit. A Nazi werewolf?
No? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Lokai can't believe this shit and gets pissed. So Peter further explains that bald dude was a Nazi criminal. Lokai then realizes that bald old man wasn't even a werewolf at all and calls himself stupid.
He was just a Nazi instead.
Yeah.
An innocent Nazi.
Back outside, Antoine is still trying to calm everybody down and Lokai says there's still plenty of time. And we hear Antoine talk about Janice and her amazing piano skills. And Lokai calls out to himself, oh, Janice. Then he turns to ask Peter, what time did Janice get back to the hotel? Peter doesn't think that she even left, and Lokai yells, "Of course she left! I broke into her room this morning and she wasn't even there!" Peter assures Lokai that nobody saw Janice this morning. She doesn't even crawl out of bed until, like, late afternoon. The hot goss on the street is that she's got a drinking problem. Lokai thinks on that for a moment, muttering, "It couldn't be. It couldn't be." Then we fade away and see that there's this big old full moon outside. And there's a wolf howl as well, just to, like, emphasize this thing. And we pop inside and see Lokai clomping his way down the hallway. And he kicks in the door to Janice's room.
Again, no hesitation.
Nah, this guy's fucking crazy. He points a gun inside and says,
"Come on up, bitch. It's time to hula."
I like the part where it's not nightfall yet. And he's like, "Oh, it can't be her, right?" And then, like, he storms into her room hours later.
Okay, maybe a little bit of hesitation. He was just in his room, like, "Should I kick the door down? It seems a bit much."
we didn't get to see his hesitation, Brandon.
He was real tortured about this.
Yeah, it took him fucking hours
just to psych himself up.
But then he did it. He did it, and it was great. He looks around the room, going into her bedroom, calling out, "You really didn't think you'd get away from me, did you?" Then he walks back out into the main room and looks outside for a second before breathing a whole bunch. We see this shot where the full moon is behind him through the window, and he starts, like, writhing in pain. And he goes over to the window and he pulls on the curtains and then falls to the ground and starts painfully transforming into a werewolf, Brandon. Surprise!
What?
Did you see that comment? Did you see Lokai?
Oh my God.
The most werewolf fucking name ever, turning into a werewolf?
Yeah.
Me too, Brandon. Oh, Lord. This episode's ridiculous. He gets back up. He starts screaming. And he's, like, mid-transformation here, Brandon. And I thought it looked pretty decent.
It's not the worst transformation. It's not like American Werewolf in London style. Like, you don't really see it. It's kind of just like, every time the camera cuts, they add a little bit more makeup to him.
Yes. I feel like his mid-transformation makeup looks way better than his full transformation.
Okay. Cortland, when he's fully transformed, I think he looks like those Geico cavemen.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, actually.
Like, he's not even like a wolf. He's just like a hairy dude.
Yes. He makes a huge mess, ripping up his shirt and his shoes and all that, and then howls when he's fully transformed. I have a question for you, Brandon. I'm just going to stop the podcast for a second here.
Yeah, sure.
Front stop here. So, does he know he's a werewolf, or is he, you know what I mean? Like, does he know he is the werewolf, or does he not know it and he hunts werewolves?
I'm not entirely sure, because once the twist that happens after this happened, I was like, oh, is she the werewolf hunter? And he was hunting for the werewolf hunter?
That's a good question. I was going to say, too, like, if he doesn't know that he's a werewolf, like, he just wakes up and all of his clothes are shredded every full moon, and he's like, yeah, I gotta get new clothes now.
That might be a clue.
So he's full werewolf now, right? The first thing he does is rages and whips some crap off of a table, and then another one. It's like he just lost a game.
No hesitation.
Bloody checkers or something. I don't know. He growls a bunch and then looks over at Janice's bed where there's some, like, clothes that are set out. So he takes a sniff of that because he's got these incredible tracking abilities now he's a werewolf, and we hear the door open up and close, and Lokai takes a look over and we see that it's just a maid getting some towels prepared at, like, fucking midnight. I don't know,
time just doesn't matter in this hotel.
She just does not even see this Lokai werewolf, though. She's not very perceptive to her surroundings. Lokai attacks her and starts snarling all over and biting her and ripping her clothes. And he throws her against the piano and just starts bashing her head against the keys over and over again until she fucking dies.
Yeah, that's kind of a jerk thing to do. It's important to note that when he bashes her head against the keys on the piano, like, it's not making any sound.
Yeah, interesting, right?
Also, I'm surprised Wolfgang Puck isn't up here, like, changing sheets.
Yeah, what's he? Come on, Wolfgang, you gotta make your living here, buddy.
Wolfgang in a maid's uniform coming in, like,
missed opportunity.
Hello. Housekeeping also.
I do everything else around here.
Wolfgang runs the place.
So he kills that woman, and after that, he starts growling some more, and we look at his face. He kind of looks like a lizard people.
Yeah.
But caveman from Geico commercials is also very accurate. He lifts up the back of the piano for some reason. I guess it's probably because it didn't make any noise. And we see there's like some dirt and there's a little pillow inside, Brandon. It's really comfy.
Oh, it does look very cozy.
He slams that shit shut and makes his way over to the window again to howl into the night a couple of times. A wolf howls back at him and he kind of smiles. But that delightful moment is interrupted by like a candlestick or something piercing right through his tummy. He understandably screams, and the stick gets pulled out and then jabbed back through him. Loki falls to the ground, and from behind him we see Janice. She takes a little finger of that blood, like she just like wipes it up, and then she licks the end of it, and she says, "Didn't expect you till midnight, groupie." Well, midnight yesterday, okay. It's a completely different day now. Lucky for me, I'm an early riser. You groupies are so easy. Stomping
she
around.
She calls him loopy. It.
No, I think she calls him a groupie because she called him a groupie earlier, right?
She calls him loopy, which is a slang for werewolves.
Is it? Get out, Brandon.
Yep.
Get out. Get out of here.
Okay.
Okay, fine. She calls him loopy. Whatever. She says they're so easy. Stomping around, sticking your chest out like you don't got a brain in his head. She kneels down next to Loki, who is back to, like, regular old human form. She says, well, maybe it's better that way. Loki starts to sputter up some stuff, saying, like, you know, piano, right? And Janice is all, oh, yeah, the piano. Think of it as my little tour bus, baby. Now, and she licks up some more blood, saying, I kind of like you. I think I will take you up on that breakfast after all. Then she smiles, and we see she's got vampire fangs. She ducks down next to him. And we hear a bite, and Loki scream, and that's the end of the fucking episode, thank God.
Goodness. Were you, like, shocked by her being a vampire?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. I feel like the twists in this episode don't hit very hard.
Nah.
I gotta say, this is also a pretty very similar twist to The Secret, but it's kind of like the opposite.
Yeah, they were like, well, we had werewolves win in one episode. We gotta change that up for the next one. No, I didn't think it was much of a surprise that she was a vampire, especially when we didn't see her during the day ever. And I don't know. I just kind of was like, okay, we got werewolves. I'm sure there's going to be there's a vampire. So I don't know.
Yeah. I love how like everybody in this hotel is like so gossipy and they're just like all talking about the case of this werewolf. And even the hotel manager is like, there's only one conclusion we can draw. From this, it's werewolves, but with Janice, it's like, all right, she sleeps all day and she has a coffin, but she's just an alcoholic.
Yeah. So these people live in a world where werewolves and vampires are legit real, and I don't know. I think it would have been better if maybe there was like some gossip about people dying that go to Janice's concert kind of things or something maybe in there. There should have, like you said at the beginning, though, this episode... If they wanted to do it justice, like the script or this idea, it should have been longer.
Yeah.
It could have been great.
More time.
It could have been. Yeah. It's very half baked. It could have been really good. Very fleshed out characters and stuff. I mean, I guess you could say that about some other episodes, too, or whatever. But this one is very I don't know. It's just kind of like thrown together. And they're like, hey, we got Wolfgang Puck. And he's like, oh, I made a frittata. I don't know. It's whatever.
Oh.
Back with Crypti, we are zoomed right up on his face, and he says, poor Loki. Thought he was starring in La Boum, I guess. Turns out he was second lead in Romeo and Juliet. He chuckles a little and sighs, saying, I hope you're not cultured out, kiddies, because the next part of our program is a little pa-ti-dai. What? I don't know what he's saying. I've been working on it. Okay, whatever. I hope you like the choreography. Whenever you're ready, Zadora. And we pan back to see that the Crypt Keeper has a skeleton in a wig and a pink dress in his arms. He tosses that skeleton into the air and looks up after it, and it just falls behind him with a crunch. He didn't even try to catch her.
Nope. Not his job.
Apparently not. Then he goes, I guess it's back to the Corpse du Ballet for her. And he laughs us out of the episode. And that is Werewolf Concerto, Brandon. We are done.
Whew.
Did you learn anything from this mess?
Don't fuck with Timothy Dalton. He'll just shoot you in the head with no second thought.
Fuck,
like,
yeah.
He didn't know that guy was a Nazi.
No, well, he thought he was a werewolf, maybe, unless he wasn't actually the werewolf hunter and it was
but
Janice
even if
time,
he thought but... he's a werewolf, he didn't know he was a werewolf.
Right.
I mean, clearly, because he's not.
If he even suspects anybody of being a werewolf, he will shoot them in the forehead. No questions asked.
Yeah, if you're just like a little bit sus one time, he'll just blast you.
I learned that if you don't like anything Wolfgang Puck is making, just ask for a cheeseburger.
Just ask Wolfgang Puck for whatever you want. Go get it for
He'll
you.
He'll do it. Yeah. He'd be like, I spent all day preparing this feast of quail and baby vegetables. And you'll be like, fuck that bullshit, Wolfgang. Give me a cheeseburger. And you'd be like, all right, I'll do it. I have no choice. God, this episode. Brandon, I like the name Werewolf Concerto, even though I couldn't say it before. Like, it's grown on me, you know? I don't know what a concerto is, but it sounds fancy.
It does. We can come up with some other names, though.
Secret Nazis.
That sounds adventurous. Like a...
I know, right?
An Indiana Jones
movie. The Secret Garden? No, Secret Nazis.
Yeah, just like the Secret Garden, but with Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
James Bond, Carl Winslow, and Wolfgang Puck walk into a bar.
Oh, and then what happens?
You gotta watch the episode to find out. See, it's
intriguing. Shoots them right in the forehead, all of them.
From groupies to loopies.
Yeah, that's a great one, Brandon. Good job. Do you want to meet this cast? We have a whole ass bunch of characters to meet.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
More so than most episodes these days. Let's start with Timothy Dalton, who played Lokai. Brandon, who is this Timothy Dalton fellow? I don't even know.
I'm going to say that he's most famous for playing Alan Pinkerton in 2001's American Outlaws.
There it is. Yep. Well, he started his career off in 1966 with Troilus and Cressida. It was in a lot of stuff, though, Brandon. Charlie's Angels, Flash Gordon, and other things.
All right. Well, Cortland.
Yeah.
He was James Bond.
He was James Bond, yeah. What was the first, like, movie he was in as James Bond?
He was in two Bond movies. He was in The Living Daylights in 1987, and he was in License to Kill in 89.
Gotcha.
And when this episode of Tales from the Crypt was made, he was still, like, the current Bond. Like, he didn't make another movie, but he was supposed to. He was supposed to do GoldenEye.
You know, that's not very many James Bond movies that you've been in.
No, it's not. And of those two, one of them is really good, and one of them is absolute dog shit.
I haven't seen a single James Bond movie.
Okay, well, that's just wild.
One time, Kim and I rented Casino Royale because you were like, you got to watch it. It's so good. And I was like, yeah, oh, yeah, I'll watch it.
Fantastic.
So obviously, this was some time ago because we rented it from a family video. And the movie didn't work because that's what happens when you rent movies. People fucking scratch it and they don't work. So I never got to watch Casino Royale, Brandon.
That is a shame.
I know. What else was this dude in here?
I mean, his second most famous thing would probably be Damian Drake in Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Yeah, he was that. I forgot about that movie.
Yeah. I just saw him in Hot Fuzz I watched the other day. Yeah,
I was going to mention Hot Fuzz. I've never seen Hot Fuzz, but I know it's really good.
Oh, you should watch Hot Fuzz.
I think I know him best as Mr. Prickle Pants from Toy Story 3.
Yeah, so he's had a lot of legendary roles.
Yeah. He also reprised his role as Mr. Pricklepants in Toy Story 4. Most recently, though, 2019 to 2023, he was in Doom Patrol, where he played Chief. So
good for him.
Yeah. Next character, Brandon, we have Antoine, played by the late Dennis Farina, who passed away in 2013.
I didn't know Dennis Farina died.
Yeah.
Okay. Neither.
He started things off 1981 with Thief, and then he was in Hardcastle and McCormick. Magruder and Loud, just a lot of this and that's Final Jeopardy, which is not the game show.
Well, that's a shame.
I know. I'd be the worst Jeopardy contestant, I swear. I'm so dumb. What else was he in, Brandon? Anything I recognize?
He was Cousin Avi in Snatch.
Oh, I have seen Snatch. It's been a very long time, though. Good movie. He was also Dr. Carlson in Scrambled Eggs, Brandon. Remember that?
Oh, yum. I love Scrambled Eggs.
He was in one episode of Doc McStuffins.
Cool.
Okay, I need to quit talking like that. This man has passed away. He was in an episode of Family Guy, and then his last credited role was Lucky Stiff, where he played Luigi. Next person we got here, Brandon, Walter Gotell, the late Walter Gotell, passed away in 1997. He played Fat Bald Man.
Wow.
Yeah, he started his career. Okay, I'm still scrolling. Hold on. God damn, he's been in a lot of stuff. He started his career 1942 with The Avengers, but not the one with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, this guy was in a lot of Bond movies. He's General Gogol.
That's General Gogol, Brandon, obviously.
Gogol.
I like his credited role here with 1942's The Goose Steps Out. Where is that goose going?
Sleepaway Camp 2?
Yeah, I did see that. I've never seen that movie, but I want to because the first Sleepaway Camp is incredible. It's incredible, Brandon.
So I've heard, yes.
He was in a ton of stuff in the 60s. Like, I don't recognize any of it, but he was in it. So many things in the 70s and 80s as well.
Just a very long career.
Yeah.
Tons of work.
But I don't know any of this stuff. Well, I do know Knight Rider. He was in that in 1985. He was in Freddy's Nightmares, Brandon, so maybe we'll see him someday again, perhaps. Yep. Puppet Master 3, Toulon's Revenge. There's like a billion Puppet Master movies. Did you know that? Have you ever seen any of those?
I've not seen a single one, but I know that they exist.
I've probably said this before, but Puppet Master is one of those movies that as a kid I saw like a tiny bit of and was like, whoa, that looks awesome. Then I never seen it again. He was in The X-Files for an episode, and his last credited role, Prince Valiant from 1997. Next, we have Charles Fleischer. Probably saying your name wrong here, but this was German Carl, I think.
Yeah.
And goddamn, this guy's been in a lot of stuff, too. This fucking cast. Started off 1973 with Rowan and Martin's Laughing. That sounds like a riot. He was in 1982's Night Shift. Do you think that's a Stephen King adaptation? Probably not, right?
In 82? I don't know.
I might have been too old. He was in A Nightmare on Elm Street, so I don't think we talked about him in the plot points when we covered that episode, but he was in it. He was in Punky Brewster, Brandon. He played Louie.
Oh, shit. He does the voice of Dweeb on We're Back, A Dinosaur Story.
Oh, my God, Brandon.
Wow, I would not have made that connection. That's incredible.
Is it because you haven't seen that movie in a dozen or so years?
No, because I can picture Dweeb's voice in my head as if it were my own.
Okay.
But he does not sound like the German guy that he does in this episode. He's just a fantastic actor.
He really is. We're going to be seeing him again later because he's in the Tales from the Crypt movie, Demon Knight. More recently, Brandon, he's been in Rango and some other shit. I think, we watched this movie, not together, of course, but like recently we watched Chippendale Rescue Rangers, the movie from 2022.
Mm-hmm.
He did Roger Rabbit in that. I didn't even notice Robert Rabbit was in that movie, but he was there.
Yeah, he's dancing in the nightclub.
Oh, well, that was Charles. Next character, Brandon, we got Carl Winslow, Reginald Vell Johnson, who's probably best known as being Carl Winslow in Family Matters, don't you think?
Yeah.
Goddamn, he has been in so many things as well. Started off 1979 with When Hell Freezes Over, I'll Skate, the movie from TV. He was in Ghostbusters. I didn't even notice he was in Ghostbusters.
No.
Crocodile Dundee, Brandon. I feel like you love that movie. Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Oh, well, then I'll take that back. He was in Turner and Hooch, Die Hard 2, The Hughleys. Do you remember that show? I remember that show.
I do.
Oh, he was in Like Mike and Will and Grace. He's been in pretty much everything. That's So Raven, Bones, Meet the Browns. He was in everything, Brandon. I love
He's been in a lot of things, but like I haven't seen him in anything in a long time.
Hmm.
I guess I'm just like, I have. Like I'm not watching Strike One or First Strike, which are two separate things years apart that he did.
Well, more recently, 2021, he was in 6 episodes of Turner and Hooch. Have you seen Invincible yet?
No.
Oh, okay. I watched the first season of it and it's quite good. But he is in that, which I believe is having new episodes. Like
he now-ish. Plays Principal Winslow?
That's not a coincidence.
Oh, my God.
All right. Next character, Brandon. We got Layla I can't say her name. Rachon? Rockin?
Let's say Rockin. Layla Rockin.
Layla Rockin. This is Carl Winslow's wife in this episode. I think her name was Mercedes, but it doesn't matter. She started things off 1984 with Breakin'. And then she was in Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, Brad.
Yeah, I love that.
I forgot about it. Was what? Okay, Breakin' came out in 1984. Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo came out in 1984. Like, less than a year later. They were like, let's get another one, guys. This is it.
Dude, Breakin' was a hit.
She was in one of my favorite sitcoms, The Facts of Life, Brandon. Oh, and The Cosby Show. I don't think we can talk about The Cosby Show, though. She was in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Love it.
She was in The Sinbad Show as well. Remember Sinbad? I love Sinbad.
Yeah, Sinbad's great.
Her most recent role was in Family Reunion from 2022. She played in an episode of that. Whew. We still got two more characters, Brandon. Let's keep going.
All right.
Beverly D'Angelo, who played Janice. She's been in everything as well. Hold on. There we go. Started things off Captain in the Kings in 1976, where she played 3 episodes. She was in National Lampoon's European Vacation, where she played Ellen Griswold. I thought I recognized her.
Yeah.
That's what I love Ellen. I think she does a perfect job as Ellen Griswold in that. I think she's amazing. She's my favorite character in those movies.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it. She's my favorite. Oh, Brandon, she was in Pterodactyl Woman from Beverly Hills. Did you know that?
Yeah, actually, I did.
Yeah, you would know that. American History X. She has been in The Simpsons, Brandon. 2 episodes of The Simpsons.
Cool.
Oh, God. So many fucking things. God, these people having careers and stuff.
These people being successful.
How dare they? Her most recent role, she was in True Lies, because I guess there's a True Lies TV series. She's in 4 episodes of it.
It's just a TV series of everything now. Yeah. True Lies, Turner and Hooch, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Except for Family Matters. Somebody needs to get on that.
Yeah, someone needs to make a TV show out of Family Matters.
Jaleel White, I'm sure, would be down for a Family Matters reunion and all that.
If you go look at Jaleel White's page, I'm sure he's been in like 8 million things. He doesn't have time.
Yes, everybody's got time for some Steve Urkel, Brandon. God. Wolfgang Puck, Brandon. Wolfgang Puck, moving on.
Wolfgang Puck, I just got to say, at the top of his IMDb, it's like, he's an actor known for Tales from the Crypt.
What? What? It does. Okay.
Okay.
He did make that frittata, probably. Look, Wolfgang Puck is not an actor. I'm sorry, Wolfgang. You are a celebrity chef. But he did start his acting career in 1987 with Who's the Boss? He just played in some sitcoms and stuff. He was in Blossom for an episode. Then he was in Tales from the Crypt. He was in Ellen. The Simpsons, he was only in one episode. I expected him to be in more. He was in Frasier. His most recent was The Torque 12 in 2022. He was in 2 episodes of that. And that's that's finally our characters, Brandon. This episode had so many. We finally got through them all. Wow. Do you want to know what the next episode is? Let's keep going.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Season 4, episode 14. I think this is the season finale of season 4 here, Brandon. We have Curiosity Killed.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's about cats, though, Brandon, because this one says, a bitter elderly woman learns that her husband and a laid-back couple are hiding a youth potion from her while camping in the wilderness.
All right.
Yep. That's what I thought. Let's look at the cast here real quick. Margot Kidder. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm. Lois Lane.
How about Kevin McCarthy?
Oh, I don't know any actors Kevin McCarthy, no.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a name rings a bell, but... J.A. Preston and Madge Sinclair.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's everybody. Thank God this next episode only has like.
Well, it's 4. Got Margot Kidder.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's got Margot Kidder. Brandon, oh my God. We're done with Werewolf Concerto. Any final thoughts?
It could have been better.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what I thought too. Well, I've been up all night, Brandon. I am finally done talking, even though we got a plot points to cover, but I'm going to go to bed. I will talk with you next week for Curiosity Killed.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. I'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
It's delicious.